All right, good evening. Let me know in band if the volume is up too high. We're adjusting a couple of things. Doug and I were working during the last 30 minutes to try to get some audio levels adjusted. I apologize that I didn't have the music playing for you. We were just kind of in the middle of trying to make sure that my microphone was up to a little bit better level for post-production purposes to save Doug a lot of extra work that wouldn't be necessary. So, if you would please, just in this kind of little technical operation here, let me find my band. If you'll let me know in band if everything's okay. Doug is telling me at his end everything sounds good. So I'll take a look in band here and see what your sense of the volume is at your end. And then I think we can dive right into it. Okay, let's see what we got here. Okay. Looks like we've got a few people here that are okay with it. But again, post in band if you would please. Just take a second and let me know how the volume is on my microphone. And then we can proceed on. Mountain Seeker says it's good. Okay, that should be good enough. Thank you. Let's see if we've got another. Okay. Good. All right. Everybody seems to be good with that. I'm looking at the postings for tonight's live stream. Let's see. Chrissy, you're at work. I like your pictures you put in there. That's pretty good. And then there's Richard. How about this for something different for a family picture? Oh, yeah. Oh, gee. Very good. Very good, Richard. Okay. So let's move right along. I just wanted to mention that in band, Kathleen has been working on some new projects with all of you. We now have on Monday, as you know, Music Monday, so you can post in band musical selections that you would feel would be uplifting and encouraging and properly entertaining for everyone. On Tuesday, we now have poetry. And we encourage all of you to post your own compositions or those of others that you enjoy. Poetry on Tuesday. And then the latest is therapy pets. So now you get to post pictures of your favorite pets or even stuffed animals, as I have seen in here, your pets or others or funny things that you find online. So Monday, Tuesday, and Thursday, we've got quite a bit going on here that I think a lot of people are enjoying. I'm seeing a tremendous amount of participation, especially with the pets, which, you know, that kind of figures that would happen. So just to round things out, you know, to have some fun here with everybody and to encourage each other. So thank you again for doing that. Tonight's live stream is entitled Signs, and I'm not going to go into a lot of prophecy or signs, but I just wanted to briefly mention, just from a big picture perspective, that we really are seeing the signs of the tribulation, signs of the return of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, rumors, wars, and rumors of wars. I mean, everything is just accelerating. And the information, as we were engaged in one of our phone conversations today with one of our friends here, we were repeating the phrase, you know, between the three of us, that the information and the events and everything is coming at us like a fire hose. And it really is. And these are signs. This is the increase in knowledge, the increase in what we are as God's children, what we are aware of, and what He's making known through the Holy Spirit to all of us. And thus lifting the veil, parting the veil as to what's going on the malevolent side of things, what Satan is up to. So we are indeed seeing the signs. And in Matthew 24, 6, just briefly tonight, I'd like to read for you. Again, very familiar scripture, and we've cited this many times, Matthew 24. Verse 6, you will hear of wars and rumors of wars, but see to it that you are not alarmed. These things must happen, but the end is still to come. Nation will rise against nation and kingdom against kingdom. There will be famines and earthquakes in various places. All these are the beginning of the birth pains, and I believe that we are firmly entrenched in those birth pains in the present moment. And again, referencing back to band, and Kathleen posted this just a couple of days ago. This was actually 22 hours ago. She posted this from Al Jazeera.com. U.S. and Russia dig in over Ukraine crisis as Blinken visits Kiev. There's been a lot of update information, again, coming at us through a fire hose, even today. And we have numerous U.S. warships that are on the move from the east and west coast. We have troops that have already been delivered into the area. We have more material being sent. We have allied nations that are wanting to join NATO now that are not presently NATO members because of what's going on with the threats against the Ukraine. There are threats through the American and allied channels of trying to take back Crimea. Taking back Crimea from Russia, which is really predominantly a Russian, sympathetic Russian, not just sympathetic, but an area that is predominantly made up of Russian residents, and their culture is what I'm trying to say is more Russian leaning than it is Ukrainian. It's a pocket within Ukraine, but it appears that the confrontation is imminent. A little less than 48 hours ago, a red line in the sand, a warning, a last-ditch warning was presented by Vladimir Putin to the West that there should be certain safety safeguards, unequivocal safety guards, safeguards in place, agreements, a truce, if you will, between Russia and the Western nations. And if that truce was not solidified and abided by and enforced and legally enforced in writing and legally bound in the international courts, that war was inevitable. And as many of you probably are aware, that many troops, many weapons systems have been relocated over 9,000 miles from the eastern end of Russia to the western end, to the borders of Ukraine. And we are seeing more Russian flotilla, including submarines, moving into the Baltic, having passed by the United Kingdom yesterday. So things are definitely, the wars and rumors of wars are definitely at play right now. So not for the purpose of fear that I bring this up, but because this is definitely part of the big picture, something we need to pay attention to, we need to be aware of, even as we do yet again today on Thursday. We're doing another technical Thursday, we're doing another deep dive into the nano world. And we have a lot to cover this evening. But I present this in a fashion in which I'm fairly well aware, and most of you are well aware of what's going on the national and international front. We still have issues with China and Taiwan to deal with, North Korea, Iran, and events unfolding still within the Syrian border with Israel. So Of course, our guidepost is Scripture, specifically with Damascus and Israel, Isaiah 17, Jeremiah 49, and followed soon thereafter the prophetic events of Ezekiel 38 and 39, and then following that towards the end, of course, is Armageddon. We don't know the timing. We don't know the timing between events, but we are definitely feeling the birth pains at this point. So as if we didn't have enough on the domestic level in each of our respective individual countries that we are broadcasting to, we not only have our domestic issues that we have to deal with and all of what is going on with really the grand illusion, but also I would call it the grand, not only deception, but distraction of the plandemic. Definitely it occupies a lot of our hours and our thoughts and our research and reporting on both ends, yours and mine. So it is a distraction, but at the same time, we are well aware of what's going on the international front, you and I. And we have to be mindful of all of these things. We call it the micro scale as well as the macro scale, because they all have direct impact onto our individual daily lives. And, you know, yesterday at lunch, Kathleen and I were talking about how it is that, you know, she was out for most of the day running errands. I was out. I went for my annual physical yesterday, so I was gone most of the day because of the travel time. And we both remarked at lunch when we got back together late in the afternoon for a late lunch how it is that you can go out in the world and you can see what appears to be life going on as normal, as usual. We don't see a lot of chaos in the streets. I mean, in places like Germany and France and other areas, Australia, we're seeing, of course, demonstrations in the streets in the major cities. But I'd venture to say that in the outlying areas, much like where we live, not much is going on. I mean, people are going about their days. Where we are, no one's wearing masks anymore, except really the elderly going into the grocery store. But other than that, things are pretty much, as you might say, copacetic. And yet we know underneath all this what is going on. So it's a real dichotomy. You know, you come back home and you go, well, I went to the grocery store and I went to the gas station and I went to the doctor. I didn't see any National Guard troops in the streets. And we begin to ask, is this all real? Is this actually happening? And we know, of course, in the areas with higher concentrations of people, a lot of these events are playing out in an abnormal form of daily life. And we, of course, know through the science and we know through the reporting in the independent media, not so much, you know, the narrative, the propaganda floats out through the mainstream narrative, but through the independent news outlets, media outlets, we see that there is a lot going on that is abnormal in life. And these are signs. The title of tonight's live stream, all of these changes to life, radical changes to life. And as we are looking at things like good old Boris in the UK saying, hey, no more lockdown, no more masks, no more mandates. And several of us have engaged in phone conversations since that came out and we posted it in band. We've had private conversations with several of you by way of phone and Skype, wondering, okay, well, what's behind this move? I mean, it was quite a surprise, this announcement. And so we sort of delve into our conspiratorial mode, which is legitimate to do that. When you don't know, you get into supposition and conjecture and what-if scenarios based upon observation of their previous behavior and what we would anticipate their future behavior to be. Now, I'm not going to get into fear-mongering here, but all of you, I'm sure, have come to your own conclusions about Well, what's the next shoe to drop, so to speak? What's the next big event that's going to happen? What would be the opposite of what appears to be good news? What's the 180 to this? You all are well aware of the rumors that are floating around, and I don't need to delve into that, and I won't. If you want to ask us what we think, please email us and we can have some private conversations. But I don't want to promote fear, and I don't want to promote fearful speculation. But we know the nature of the behavior of these world leaders to know that what they're up to is not benevolent. So we naturally expect the worst out of them. And that's the way the whole world is going. Those are the signs. The wars and the rumors of wars applies to nanoscale warfare, biological warfare. That's what we're engaged in right now, biological warfare. And there are rumors of additional biological warfare. That's what I'm referring to, sort of skirting the issue a little bit. But then we see the more common form of warfare. Boots on the ground, aircraft in the air, and tanks crossing the countryside. So all we can do is pray for this. Pray about it. It's really all we're left with. You know, it's often been said to me, don't worry about the things that you cannot influence. And you've heard that as well. Well, let's look at influence. Let's look at spiritual influence. We may not be able to physically influence what is happening with Russia with respect to the Ukraine, but we can influence it spiritually. Absolutely. That's irrespective of distance and time, irrespective of human players. We can affect this spiritually. Now, does that mean that we could pray and stop the troops and stop the war? Not necessarily, but can we change? Can we disrupt? Can we pray for no one to be killed, injured, maimed? Certainly we can. Certainly we can pray for the innocents that get in the way, the collateral effect of warfare. We can pray for that. But we can pray as well for a miracle. We should not sell God short. If he wants to turn the troops around, he can do that. Again, we look at Revelation. And we look at other scripture in the Bible to know prophetically what is unfolding already. We're in the midst of it. We're in the depth of it. Okay, so let's get to the science a little bit here. Just reviewing my notes to make sure I'm not missing anything here. You know, Kathleen was reviewing with me today about Corona, the name Corona, and we have covered that in the last two live streams with respect to the nano devices, the nano sensors, Novelda, the sensing of humans, the presence of humans using small microwave chips. But Corona is not just a virus in the sense of the biological virus. Corona is also a computer virus. And when we talk about a Corona computer virus, we're talking about the biocomputer virus. Because we have two things, again, and I do this often. I do part A and part B, or two parallel tracks, one track to the left, one track to the right, just to kind of separate things out and make it digestible. We have, on the one hand, we have the corona From a purely biological aspect, the coronavirus, while we also have the same name being applied in computing, in software and hardware, in nanosensors, in biosensors, in biocomputing. And so now we have the two that have coalesced, that have converged into where you cannot distinguish between the two, because the biological has merged into literally the computational at a biocomputing, call it biological hardware, but it is also operating in a program fashion, a software fashion, because we have the literal programming of chemical actions and reactions, combining and separatings of chemicals, of molecules, such that now we have the biological functioning as software and hardware computers. Now, if you look at it from the big picture, this has always been occurring. This is God's design. We have always functioned computationally. And as we move into the deeper discussions tonight, I would like to get to a discussion on human consciousness, not from a New Age standpoint, but from a biological, but also a quantum mechanical slash quantum computational basis in the discussion of consciousness. Why do I want to go that direction? Well, starting with the coalescing of the biological and the computational, we have to ask ourselves, why is this happening? What is the finer focal point of this coalescing? We can easily put the broader strokes to it of establishing a serf class of slaves, a feudalistic, global feudalistic system under the Antichrist, a dictatorship merged with the feudalistic. We can easily go to that, but that's too broad. And yes, we can talk about the command and control of the human brain, the enslavement, the interface between computing and the human brain. And we've delved into all of these broad strokes and sort of medium strokes. But where I want to take you is more of a merging of quantum mechanical on the one side and the philosophical on the other. Because the philosophical and the quantum mechanical likewise coalesce, they come together. And the coming together of the philosophical and quantum mechanical is what is a causal factor, a source, an etiology as to why and how the biological and the computational has coalesced. So the finer point on this is looking at and examining the consciousness of the human brain. We've looked at the microtubules, and we'll mention that some more tonight. We've looked at neurons. Of late, we've looked at the dendrites with their synaptic branching. But these are the components that function in a biomechanical way, in a biochemical way, and now in a biocomputational, which has always been there in God's original design creation of us. There has always been the biocomputational. The evidence of that is the fact that we are sentient beings. We are self-aware, and we have a conscience. And we are aware that we have a soul. We are fully aware that we are a spiritual being living in a physical form. We are fully aware that there is a life beyond this physical form. Where does that awareness come from? On the one hand, the discussion wants to focus on the biomechanical. And even within that, we can divide the biomechanical to a finer examination of that with respect to quantum mechanics and particle physics. So we can look at the physical side and its attendant explanations in the world of man's science, explaining that. While on the other hand, we have the purely spiritual. The spiritual in terms of trying to come to terms with how are we aware, how is it that we understand this, and how is it that we take it as a fact of life, that we are conscious, self-aware, have a conscience, consciousness, and a soul. And the application of that is our awareness that we are created beings and that there is a creator that has created not only us, but the entire universe. Now, a tangent to this, we could talk about animals, we could talk about plants, we could talk about minerals, and ask those same questions about those entities, those physical entities, but we won't go down that tangent. So tonight is a mixture of the philosophical and the scientific. Now, I'm not going to get into talking about, you know, the philosophical, you know, and defining Plato and Aristotle and the more modern, getting into Nietzsche and Freud and the psychoanalysis direction of philosophy. It isn't necessary. You all are well versed in those areas by yourself. But just speaking philosophically as a area of discussion is where I want to take us tonight, as we at the same time, we are concurrently talking quantum mechanical. And yes, these two are merged in the scientific literature. There are the philosophical considerations when we begin to talk about things like nanoparticles, the double slit experiment, wave particle duality, the uncertainty principle regarding the location of fundamental particles, such as an electron. So you can't separate the two. Within the realm of human thinking, you cannot purely isolate your thinking into just looking at things experimentally. Within the world of physics, Newtonian classical physics, or into the more modern era of quantum mechanics, which has departed, it departs from classical. You can't focus just in that area by itself without taking into appreciation that we as thinking humans think philosophically. We think spiritually. We think beyond just that which can be measured, detected, measured, and experimentally reproduced in order to come up with a proof. We can think theoretically, which is philosophical, which is going beyond the boundaries of just our ability to interact with our physical reality, our physical form, our touch and feel and sensory input of our life. We can go beyond the sensory to that which dwells just within our conscious processing. And that processing goes into thinking in terms, is this strictly informational? computational processing, or is there a spiritual? We can think philosophically because we also think spiritually. The spiritual slash philosophical. I'm going to say those two concurrently. So that you have on the one hand a purely logical, rational, factual examination of thinking as being mechanical, computational, only based upon information and defining information as I have here, information as zeros and ones. To bringing into that way of examining how we think, beyond just the mechanical, the computational, the informational, we have to think philosophically and spiritually. Again, demonstrating within our own mind, you cannot separate the spiritual from the physical. So that there are many of you that are probably thinking, what does this have to do with nanoparticles, nanobots, biosensors, biocomputing, interfacing with computers? What does this all have to do with it? It takes us behind the veil of the patents, the peer-reviewed white papers, the publication journals of scientific literature. It takes us behind that and beyond that to the motivations for the research, for the experimentation, for the detection. It takes us beyond that because man operates based upon motivations. So it examines what is motivating this move. Now, another distinction that we use here all the time is benevolent and malevolent. We can see, obviously, that there are people who are motivated by the benevolent. They want to do good for humanity. And we certainly applaud that in the world of medicine and biology as a whole, and even in the realm of quantum mechanical and nano scale operations. But because we are in a fallen state, man predominantly moves into the malevolent application of that which has been discovered that could have tremendous benevolent applications. But it comes down to the motivation, and the motivation is from a fallen state. And this is why we see things going on in the Ukraine right now. This is why we see things going on in the laboratory of Dr. Craig Venter in La Jolla, California, that I highlighted two live streams ago with respect to the nanoscale and DNA. They're all motivated by the same thing, the malevolent. That's the unfortunate state that man has been in since the Garden of Eden. Again, I'm preaching to the choir. Therefore, we have to consider the philosophical. And I want to start with the double slit experiment in quantum mechanics. And again, that's kind of like, wow, how can you speak philosophically about the double slit experiment? Well, you can. Many of you are familiar with this, and I will backfill this. I'm going to give you the headline right now. But when the experiment is conducted in the laboratory, and I'll define it, I'll explain what it is. Inevitably, it leads the factual, physical experiment using laboratory devices leads to a philosophical argument. Not just a debate, not just an intellectual back and forth, but an actual arguments in the world of science and in the world of philosophy. Because the experiment does not answer the question. What's the question? I'll give it to you. But I'm telling you, they cannot answer the question scientifically with hardware, software, computers. They can't answer the question. So they have to roll it into the realm of philosophical. Now, if it were you and I in the laboratory, we would carry it into not just the theological, but we would take it to the spiritual for the solution to the question. Because ultimately, all questions are answered through God. Because everything arises, everything created by God. So the final solution to any question always lies with Him. Now, understanding that as the backdrop, let me explain just in loose terminology, the double-slit experiment. Why even run this experiment? Well, the reason for running this experiment that I will break down for you is they are trying to determine where does this physical reality, physical matter, referred to as particles, particles that have mass, momentum, energy, angular momentum, have quanta of energy that can be measured, quantified, energy that can be measured. Where does the physical reality come from? Now you can see that Aristotle and Plato looked at this as modern day philosophers and psychoanalysts and the whatnot have struggled with. But it crosses over and merges into the science, the scientists who are involved with quantum mechanics and particle physics, people like you would find at CERN. Trying to determine the origin of physical matter, how it arises, how it manifests in our reality. And reality is a physical and a philosophical phenomenon. So the question is, where does this physical matter come from? How is it that we can touch and feel and interact with it? And I won't go down the tangent of time, but that's a whole other discussion we could have, both physical and philosophical, about time itself. Does time exist? How do we experience time? Past, present, and future. Maybe we'll do another live stream on that. But the physical. So an experiment was run. And I'm going to show you a graphic of that. I have to post this, so give me just a second, because I ran out of time. We were trying to work on some of the audio issues that we had, and I ran out of time tonight in order to put this graphic up. But bear with me for a moment. I should be able to get this very quickly. Okay. This is just a very simplistic diagram of the double slit experiment. On the left-hand side is a laser, and the laser is defined as coherent light. That means light that is, if you will, focused and moves together in a combined wavelength. Okay? And this coherent light is formed of photons. The interesting thing about photons, whether they're coherent in the form of a laser or just diffracted and diffused as you would normally see, say, coming from a light bulb or from the sun, photons have an interesting characteristic. Much like we're talking about physical and philosophical, photons have both a physical form and a wavelength, a wave form, an energy wave. So they are both a wave and a particle at the same time. Now, a lot of you, this is very elementary. You've already heard this, okay? But we're getting to a point. So photons have what is referred to as wave-particle duality. They have a dual state. So does human consciousness. There is a duality to our human consciousness. A duality in terms of a biomechanical, biomolecular, biochemical, biocomputational, bioinformational, while at the same time it has, as the other part of its state, a philosophical, if you will, a spiritual consciousness. So our consciousness has a dual state, a duality, much like the wave-particle duality of the photon. And that philosophical duality is going to come into play as we go into this double-slit experiment. So on the left, as an emitter, emitting, transmitting, projecting photons towards this screen in the middle that has two white lines. Those are slits in that screen. So it's like making slots in a piece of cardboard. The interesting thing is, as those two slits allow photons to pass through, it acts to interfere with those protons. It causes a conversion, an expression, if you will, of those particles into a wave. The interference breaks the wave-particle duality on the left side, where the laser emitter is emitting protons, and the protons are in that dual state of wave-particle. You can see that in blue on the left-hand side of the screen. And as they pass through the screen, they are separated. They diffuse. They separate the wave from the particle. You have some particles moving through the left split and some particles moving through the right split. And when they hit the right-hand side, what is known as the interference screen, the projection screen, the detection screen, they are detected as manifesting at this point only as a wave, because the wave characteristic of the proton, excuse me, of the photon has been separated out. It's almost as if the double slit card has filtered out the particle aspect of the photon, leaving behind only the wave aspect of the photon. And so this simple experiment really sent shockwaves through the scientific community. It was theorized and even mathematically modeled, this wave-particle duality of photons. And it was theorized by Einstein. And in his theory of relativity and particles moving at the speed of light came the wave-particle duality conundrum with Einstein and others. So in simplifying this, I'm illustrating to you with the double slit experiment how consciousness appears. You are seeing on the screen consciousness. as a laboratory experiment. Now, it was not initially thought that this would apply to consciousness, but it does. This is purely a experiment in physics, particle physics. So let me go back on screen here because I often forget to bring myself on camera. Let's focus on the wave. How did we get to the wave? Well, we needed an instrument that could detect the wave. So we have that screen. That screen allows for us to note, to detect, and to measure the wavelength of those waves from that particular wavelength of photon. That detector meant that we as humans were now able to detect, we could measure that energy wave of that photon. Now here's the philosophical part of this as it applies to consciousness. It has to do with sort of the chicken and the egg, which came first, that whole argument. We are functioning as the detector because we are seeing on the projection screen the waves. So we are detecting the presence of those waves. Well, let's ask the question. If we did not exist as the detector, would those waves exist? Now, that's a philosophical question. It is also a scientific question. A physics question. And this is what caused the debate and even the arguments in the scientific world. And it still continues today. The argument is based on the question, do those waves exist apart from us as humans functioning as the detector, the observer, the measuring operation? Do those waves exist out there? Is that a definition of reality? So the scenario goes this way. The claim on one hand is that the waves exist apart from humans existing. That's just the universe. That's the natural universe, comprised of waves, energy waves. Humans do not need to exist in order for those waves to exist. That's one side of the philosophical argument. The other side of the argument says the waves only exist because we detect them. Thus, the chicken and the egg. Did we exist first, and then because we are able to detect the waves, that gave rise to the waves? That the white waves only exist because there is someone to detect them? If someone is not there to detect the waves, then the waves do not exist. That's one side of the argument. The other side I already gave you, that apart from our existence, the waves exist on their own throughout the universe, simply awaiting detection by some sort of entity. So this is an example, and there are many others in philosophy and in science and physics, of duality. We look at the wave-particle duality, meaning there's a dual state of existence with respect to the photon. And it can be argued with other fundamental particles that there's a wave-particle duality. But we're focused on the photon because of the double slit experiment and its carryover to philosophy. Now I'm going somewhere with this philosophy. I'm taking you back to what we've been talking about for the last few live streams. So hold on to your seats. I know many of you fasten your seat belts on Patch Airlines, as you tell me in band before we go on the air. And I love that. So keep your seat belts firmly buckled. Now, it may not be earth-shattering where we're going with this. It may not be a big aha moment. But I think it's worth examining philosophically where we're going with respect to human biology. Because biology, as we shared with you with our example of Dr. Craig Venter and his statements, biology is the largest disruptor in human history, because it affects everything in human life, everything in human existence, from the humans to the environment itself. Biology, man's manipulation of biology, is radically changing all of our existence. Okay? So we have to look at the philosophy behind this movement in biology to change everything. And as we've said, it is not going in a benevolent direction. We're examining this because we need to understand how and why the world is moving the way it's moving. This is how we come to terms with our everyday existence. This is how we come to terms with prophecy, is by looking at the motivating factors. And it is a philosophical and scientific discussion, because the philosophy motivates the science. The science didn't come first and then the philosophy. There's no chicken and egg issue here. Science is an outgrowth of philosophy. Philosophy is alchemic. Philosophy is spiritual. Alchemic is the physical. Philosophy is alchemic. So let's go back to the wave. Whether it exists or does not exist, whether it must be detected in order to bring it into reality, or does it exist on its own, undetected, as part of reality? Is it the fabric of reality? The wave. Well, the philosophical conundrum is just that. Does the human mind, the human consciousness, need to exist in order to detect, let's say just with our eyes, to detect the presence of those waves? The deeper question now is, does the energy wave experience, undergo an alteration, a change, because we are detecting? Now, superficially, we could say, is the image of that energy wave entering through the iris to the retina, to the eye, to the optic nerve, to the brain, does that simply receive information that is telling us, light that is communicating to our brain, the presence of that wave? Does the wave continue on unaltered? Or does our brain, and you know that our brain operates at different energy waves, different electromagnetic wavelengths, alpha waves, beta waves. Could the waves, that physically represent our brain functioning as a detector, does that have an effect on that which we are observing? Do we simply by detecting and processing in our brain, do we alter those waves? Do we alter the physical? Do we alter the universe? This was the outgrowth of running a laboratory experiment in physics to where it crossed over into the philosophical, asking, does man influence the universe by his or her presence? Does human consciousness alter reality? If so, what would reality look like if it were undetected by humans? So now we go into the human brain. The physical aspects of how the human brain is constructed and how it operates, sort of the Craig Venter approach, the reductionist scientific, let's break it down to its minutest components and look at how those components operate, and can we then manipulate those components so that the brain operates differently? Craig Venter. I do not consider his work to be benevolent. Let me put it in that context. So that's the reductionistic, mechanistic look at the brain, the physical. But we know that the brain produces energy waves. And we know that the brain functions as a detector utilizing our senses. And so the question is, do the actions of our brain produce consciousness? How do we define consciousness? Shall we define it purely in the biomechanical, or should we look at strictly the wave, philosophical, spiritual? Is consciousness capable of being separated into two separate camps, or must they cross over and coalesce into the whole? I think you would agree with me that you cannot separate the two. You have to bring the spiritual, you have to bring the physical wave, the energy wave, you have to bring the biomechanical components, the quantum mechanical, and that's where we're headed next, the quantum mechanical. You have to bring those together. Otherwise, the brain does not function. You have to have the spiritual and the mechanical, the physical, otherwise the brain does not function. And we can look at that physical part scientifically, experimentally, in the laboratory, double slit experiment type of work. We can look at the quantum mechanical. We can look at quantum entanglement. We can look at quanta as energy. We can look at the orbital pathways describing, prescribing the energy of fundamental particles like electrons and protons. We can do the quantum mechanical, but we cannot do that devoid of considering the physical, philosophical, spiritual side of it. Okay, which brings us, if we're talking on this side, spiritual, does the spiritual give rise to the physical? Does the physical as a detector, detecting physical matter of the human brain, does the spiritual produce the physical? and the two together giving rise to consciousness? Or does consciousness simply exist in the spiritual realm? Is it strictly the spirit, the soul, that gives rise to human consciousness? Can it do that apart from the physical? Can a conscious awareness and processing and thinking and knowledge of our Creator, can that operate completely separate from the human brain on the physical quantum mechanical explanation of it? Well, that takes us to death. We know from Scripture, we know from the testimony of Jesus Christ who defeated death, that there is at some point a separation of the physical from the spiritual. And we leave behind the physical. And we ascend to heaven to sit at the right hand of the Father, much like Jesus Christ. We are the inheritors, but we do that in physical form. We also know that there is a return with Jesus Christ as his army. And do we take on physical form in that final battle against evil? That will be answered later. So, from a big picture, why even discuss this? Is it even relevant to our everyday walk of life? We go to the grocery store. We go and do our errands. We go to work. We go to school. Is it even necessary to think philosophically? Well, man is more than his or her constituent parts. We think philosophically. We ask, why am I here? What is my purpose? Why did God create us? Well, we find the answers in the Bible. God created us because he sought fellowship. He wanted fellowship. We sort of screwed that up. But he seeks a return to that fellowship. But in the meantime, he commands us to occupy. Now, occupy as a word has many, many aspects to it. Right now, we are occupying physical form. And we have to contend with our physical form. And Satan is contending with our physical form. That's what is relevant to our everyday walk of life when we say, wow, should we think about this philosophically? And again, I'm merging philosophical, which is the man explanation for life, with the spiritual. I'm merging those two just for the simplistic discussion this evening. So don't think I'm setting aside the spiritual when I use the word philosophical. But man's explanation as to life motivates man's modification of our physical form within which we are occupying right now. And the signs, the title of tonight's live stream, that Jesus is soon to return is this modification driven by a malevolent philosophy to modify the human form, physical form that we occupy. So it is relevant because we are under attack. We are threatened to change our physical form, which is the Holy Temple. Which takes us to the philosophical, which takes us to the spiritual, which takes us to our soul and the destiny of our soul. So it is worth examining the philosophy of science. Our human brain is a detector of our reality, of our physical form, of our physical reality. And so it is acknowledged in the double slit experiment that there is something that cannot be explained in science. The wave-particle duality. How can a photon, which is light, which God spoke everything into existence, he said, let there be light, let there be photons. And when photons were created by God, they had a wave-particle duality, a dual state. We as humans have a dual state. We have a physical state and a spiritual state. Satan is seeking to artificially separate us from our spiritual and physical state. It's more than just killing us. It's more than first just modifying the DNA and then the killing of the physical body in order to separate us from our physical form, leaving our spiritual. But it is the destiny of our spiritual form that Satan is trying to redirect. We who are saved, we know the destiny of our spirit, of our soul. Those that are unsaved, Satan seeks to direct the destiny, the final destination of their spirit, which he is causing to be separated from its physical form. And he's doing that by altering the DNA, which provides us our identity written in the Book of Life and provides the physical temple for the Holy Spirit that we are merged with in our spirit. That's what is in it for us in our everyday walk of life. The destiny of our spirit, which takes on a wave-particle duality that we detect as our human body through the energy waves of our brains. Now, this may sound sort of convoluted. It may look like this discussion. Let me just be a little silly here. But right now, the discussion may look like this. The ferritin protein. It looks very convoluted and complex, this discussion, and I grant you that. But you're following this, and you've thought about this before. I'm not bringing really anything new to the table tonight. But I'm asking you to examine something that is familiar to you, that you've wrestled with before. Bring it to the table because, as I often do, I want to demonstrate to you the insidious nature, the malevolent nature of the spirit that is at work within the world today. We see it manifesting spiritually and physically. So when we see things like corona as a biological virus, when we see the word corona used in computing as a computer virus, and the combining of those dual uses into a biomolecular attack upon us, we've come to understand that this is an attack not just on the general cellular structure of the human body, but an attack directly upon our brains at the neuron level, at the dendrite level, at the synaptic level, at the neurotransmitter level, the chemicals of the brain. At the microtubule level, at the C60 carbon level of Buckminster fullerenes and buckyballs that form the Buckminster fullerene, that form the microtubule, which is the channel, the pathway, the conductive pathway of brain impulses electrons flowing through the microtubules, emanating from the dimers, the pairs, that are represented in science as 0 and 1. These are the quantum qubits, the dimers. These are the qubits, the quantum bits, the quantum 0 and 1s of our human quantum computing brain. The physical is under attack. The physical is being modified by that which is injected into the human body in the form of a coronavirus vaccine. And the corona computational virus that is injected into the human body. The computational virus is the changing of the genes, the siRNA, the silencing or the simple interfering that I presented in Tuesday's live stream, that causes the change in the function of the genes to either express or not express specific proteins and synthetic proteins that from the bottom up are now changing quantum mechanically, changing the dimers, changing the microtubules, changing the configuration of the microtubules by graphene oxide and graphene hydroxide that actually change the C60 carbon of graphene to change the shape of the Buckminster fullerene sheets that form into the microtubules of graphene of C60 carbon, that by changing the microtubules, their shape, you change the conductive pathway that changes the way the brain thinks because it alters the pathway of the flow of electrons. It changes the shape of the dendrites. We look at Novelda, novel DA, dendritic. This is the changing of the trees, the arbor, the tree of life, the tree of knowledge of good and evil. It takes us right back to Adam and Eve. The dendrites are being changed quantum mechanically. When you change the quantum mechanical components, the physical components, and thereby change the quantum mechanical operation of the human brain, and you change the growth of the trees, the new trees, the dendrites, the novel trees, the synthetic trees, and you produce synthetic synapses and synthetic neurotransmitting chemicals, you are now changing the energy waves by changing the physical, the quantum mechanical physical, the photons of the double slit experiment, and yes, the brain, the DNA specifically, transmits photonically. Information travels not just by the flow of electrons, but by the flow of photons. And photons have a wave-particle duality. The particle is the quantum mechanical of the human brain, the components, the physicality. The wave is the energy of the human brain. And thus you have a brain that is conscious because it has both a physical operation and an energetic operation that is one in the same. And this is what is not intuitively comprehensible to us, the dual state. How can something be detected as a physical particle and yet at the same time be detected as pure energy? Science has not answered that question. Philosophy attempts to answer the question of how can something exist both physically and energetically, spiritually, if you will. And therefore, because there is a lack of a final solution to that question, a definitive answer, a finite answer, because that's lacking, man still struggles with defining consciousness. Is it energy? Is it physical? Is it both? If it's both, how can it be both? That's why there's the relevant discussion in the employment of the double slit experiment that we began with, that takes us to a philosophical question that cannot be answered. Now, you and I have the ability to answer that unanswerable question, because the question is being posed in a secular environment, a secular paradigm. If we change the paradigm to a spiritual environment, we can answer the question of how can our consciousness exist concurrently as both physical and energy, spiritual. I'm calling energy spiritual. And that's a whole nother tangent. To define energy as spiritual is a whole nother discussion, and it is much deeper in terms of science and philosophy, but I want to leave it at that level tonight, that we will consider the energy of our consciousness, of how our brain is processing as spiritual. Spiritual within a physical form that we occupy. That physical form is our brain that contains, if you want to. Some will say the body as a whole contains our spirit, but we're focusing on just the brain tonight. So spiritually, we can answer the question of the dual state of our consciousness. We answer it because we have been, through God our Creator, imbued with a spirit. We've been given a spirit. We've been given a spiritual energy that is as real and factual in our experience as our interactions with the Holy Spirit, as our interactions with Jesus Christ Himself, as our interactions with God Himself. We have experienced the Holy Trinity. We have experienced it such that we know that it factually exists. And God has given us that self-awareness that we are conscious, sentient, thinking, communing with Him, aware of our Creator beings. That is under attack. Let's pull back again. Our awareness of God, our seeking a relationship with God, our acknowledgement of God as our Creator, as the source of our spirit, as the source of our energy, as the source of our body that we occupy, that He created, that is what is under attack. You see, all this discussion of changing the DNA and changing the brain and interfacing the brain with computers, All of this is meant to destroy our awareness of God, seeking God, seeking a relationship with Him and the Holy Trinity, and seeking salvation, seeking repentance, coming to a awareness and acknowledgement of our need to repent for our sins, our awareness, our consciousness that we are in a sinful, fallen state. All of that Satan wants to eliminate. Just obliterate it from our minds. This is why the biomechanical, the biomolecular, the quantum mechanical is under attack by way of the vaccines. Because that separation is caused by what is being injected. Not only to change the DNA, but to provide the technological components for biocomputing and the command and control by way of a computer that is interfacing with the human brain and interfacing with every cell in the body, those components, along with the ability to change DNA, is all of which is making up the list of ingredients of that which is being injected into humans. And the purpose of that is to obliterate our ability to be aware of our sinful nature, to come to a repentant state of mind, to seek forgiveness, to seek the Lord and Savior as our Savior, that He died for our sins, and we acknowledge that He is the only way to the Father, and we are aware of our Father as our Creator, and we seek relationship, fellowship with Him, eternal existence in worshiping and fellowship with Him. All of that Satan is trying to take off the table. This is why it is relevant to our everyday walk of life. To examine this nano, this quantum, this scientific, this molecular biology, it is necessary to examine all of that because those are the mechanisms, the pathways by which Satan wants to obliterate from our consciousness, alter our consciousness, such that we no longer are aware of our state, our nature, and God Himself. Because then we are left separated from God, and that is what He seeks with us. It's not just the death of the physical body. It is not just the condemnation of our soul, our spirit, to hell. He wants permanent separation now as we occupy this physical form. He wants that separation now from God. And He's doing it through all these mechanisms. So this takes us back to consciousness. We all know that we are conscious. We all know that we're alive. We're all self-aware that we're self-aware. And therefore, we use that self-awareness to be aware of the weapon systems being brought against us to remove that self-awareness. If you want to take it to a ridiculous example, but a familiar example, that of the zombie. We know from the examination of the levels of changes that are already occurring with respect to human behavior, we're just seeing the very first inklings of the internal changes that are occurring in the human mind, in the human consciousness, in the human spirit. We're already seeing that in our fellow humans that have taken these vaccines. And we already know that it is only going to get worse for those individuals. You are in a rare group of people that understand the science that is behind all of these behavioral changes. You are conscious of them. You are self-aware of those reasons for the changes. What is causing those changes? You are aware of those changes occurring. You are detecting those changes. You are sensing in your spirit those changes as you are detecting, seeing the physical changes in behavior. That's not even taking into account the adverse effects that are so obvious. We're talking about the more subtle, but evidence nonetheless, that man's thinking is changing. His consciousness is under attack. So defining consciousness quantum mechanically is relevant because it is the quantum mechanical that science is employing to affect those changes in consciousness. The quantum mechanical begins with particle physics. The mechanical explains, defines, choreographs, modifies the particles of particle physics. The attack upon the human body, the human mind, the human consciousness begins with the particles, the fundamental particles. I'm talking real, down, deep, reductionist science, down to the quarks, the muons, the leptons that make up the nucleus, the proton, the electron, that make up the atom, that obviously make up the molecules of biochemistry, biomechanics, that make up the systems that are changing the human body and mind, begins at those levels that CERN has been identifying by colliding protons together, not photons, but protons together. And when they shatter, they release and identify and reveal the leptons, the muons, the hadrons, the quarks, the bosons, the fundamentals that make up the proton that's just been smashed together. So when we talk about from CERN trickle-down technology, and we think of things like MRI machines in the hospital, and we think about the internet as trickle-down from CERN to our everyday walk of life, to the computer that we're communicating with right now. The trickle-down from CERN is human consciousness that is under attack. The quantum mechanics, the particle physics coming out of CERN have an immediate impact upon the person that takes the vaccine. From the very moment, if you want to put it this way, the vaccinated are connected to CERN because there's a direct link through particle physics and quantum mechanics. CERN is changing human consciousness. How's that for a headline? CERN is altering human consciousness. Now it has detectors. Atlas, CMS, LHCB, and Alice, 3 stories tall, multi-tons, composed of digital cameras, detecting the duality of particles, not just photons, but the other constituent fundamental particles that produce what they call luminosity, both energy and matter, particles with mass in much smaller forms now as a result of these collisions. And as in the double slit experiment, the detector, the human eye, or a detector device like a digital camera detecting the waveform of those photons in the double slit, that detector in the double slit experiment affects the experiment. And this is the philosophical. We're coming full circle back to the beginning. The simple act of detecting, the question is, does the act of detecting, either the human eye or the digital camera detecting, does that affect the photon? Does that affect the particles? Does that affect the wave? In other words, if you detect the particle itself as it moves through one of the two slits and you detect it moving through the slit, does that change the waveform that results on the interference screen? Does the act of detecting the particle as it moves through the slit change what is produced as a wave? Does it change the waveform? That's both a quantum mechanical question and a philosophical question. If you remove the detector, will the wave exist in its original designed form? Is it unaltered? Well, how would you know if it's in an unaltered state, an original waveform, unless you were detecting the existence of that wave? If you are detecting the existence of that wave, then you change it. Because your consciousness is both a particle and a wave acting upon that wave as you detect it with your human consciousness. Your waves of your consciousness affect the waves of that photon that result of photons moving through the double slit. So not only do we have the struggle with the wave-particle duality question, how can a particle be a wave and a wave be a particle at the same time, that problem, but now we have the problem of the wave itself. Can we answer the question? The detecting of the wave, does that change the wave? Does that change its state? You know what? It's not necessarily either of those questions that needs to be answered. Because neither question, the wave-particle duality issue, the detecting of the wave and altering it, that issue, those two things out here as two separate questions, but still questions of the same, which is the issue of detection, don't even need to be answered. Don't even need to pose the questions. You know why? Here's the other question, the third question. Does answering the question change our existence? both in physical and in spiritual form. Does it change anything about us? Put it another way, does it change reality? As we detect, as we interact with reality, does answering the question, how can a particle exist as both a particle with mass and a energy wave at the same time? And the other question of, does our detecting of the waveform change the waveform? Those are irrelevant questions. When you come to the question of, does the answer to either of those questions, or the questions themselves even being posed, does that change our reality? The answer is no. In other words, we can take all of quantum science, quantum mechanics, particle physics, we can take it all and throw it out. It's irrelevant to our existence. But we have to define our existence. Our existence, created by God, created in His image, is our existence. We don't need quantum mechanics, particle physics, molecular biology. We don't need any of that to explain our existence. Our existence is simply defined as our relationship with our Father, our Creator. Our relationship, our fellowship, what we were created for, the purpose of us being created, was to exist in fellowship with Him, which is defined as worshiping Him. He sought to create us to worship Him. That's the fellowship. You see, we keep defining, we keep drilling down deeper. We get more specific. Our reason for existence is to worship our Creator, because that's what our Creator sought in creating us. It's pretty simple when you just break it down to that. The Bible tells us all of that. I didn't make it up. He provided us the Bible so that we would understand this about ourselves. It also explains our destiny. Should we choose a relationship, choose fellowship, choose to worship Him? But this is what Satan wants to eliminate using quantum mechanics, particle physics, molecular biology. He wants to destroy how we were created, our awareness of our having been created by God, and our understanding, our knowledge, our awareness that we were created purely to worship God, because Satan chooses the same for himself. Satan seeks that which God created. Satan was created by God, but the created wants to be the creator. The created wants to be the creator. Talk about hubris. So by changing us physically and changing our consciousness and the way that we think and our self-awareness of ourselves and our awareness of God and our purpose, by eliminating the physical and the conscious, quantum mechanically and spiritually, because spiritually he is attacking that aspect of our consciousness, which is both physical and spiritual, our consciousness. He is attacking the physical, that's easy. But he's also attacking the spiritual at the same time. Because you cannot separate the physical from the spiritual, he is attacking us spiritually, demonically, through those demonic attacks. That infiltration of demonic spirits, which manifests through the forbidden knowledge that demonic entities have provided to man that then affect the physical, that then affects our consciousness, how our brain mechanically and philosophically, spiritually operates, so as to get at our spirit, so that we then become imbued with demonic spirit or multiple spirits, so that then spiritually we worship Satan as now our creator. Because this is what the vaccinated will be left with. They will be left with only communing with Satan. They will look upon Satan as their creator. This is what the Luciferian worshipers today that are living believe. They believe that Satan created them. They worship Satan as creator. This is why we are under attack spiritually and physically, so that we will worship Satan in that newly created biological and spiritual form, imbued with the demonic spirit or multiple spirits. The ultimate example of this is the Antichrist himself, a physical human that is imbued with the spirit of the Antichrist. We will be nothing different than that form that take the mark of the beast, that take the vaccines, that are the mark of the beast. Those that take the mark of the beast not only worship the beast, but will be like the beast. They will be recreated in the image of the beast, and therefore seek fellowship and seek to worship their creator, the beast, which is imbued with the Antichrist spirit, which of course is the spirit of Satan. Now, I had a lot more in the quantum mechanical that I wanted to go into tonight. Maybe I'll do that on Sunday, Lord willing. I have this to dive into, and we didn't do it tonight. But this will give you just an inkling of what we may cover on Sunday. A couple of names in consciousness research: Stuart Hameroff and Roger Penrose. Probably familiar names to many of you. Stuart Hameroff and Roger Penrose. There are many other people in the world of defining philosophically, scientifically, consciousness. But from a quantum mechanical standpoint, in defining consciousness, that is absolutely relevant to the spirit and relevant to the biomolecular attack that we are under. Between now and Sunday, take a look at the work of Penrose and Hameroff and consciousness. And believe it or not, it takes us back to the 600 cell tetrahedron and 65,536 qubits. God bless you all, and good night.